Chapter 22. Pitt did not go directly to the old aircraft hangar on the edge of Washington's International Airport that he called home. He gave Giordino a set of instructions and sent him off in a cab. He walked up Constitution Avenue until he came to a Japanese restaurant. He asked for a quiet booth in the corner, sat down, and ordered. Between the clear clam soup and a medley of sashimi raw fish, he left the table and walked to a payphone outside the restrooms. He took a small address book from his wallet and flipped through the phone numbers until he found the one he was looking for. Dr. Percival Nash, Payload Percy, Chevy Chase, Maryland. Nash was Pitt's uncle on his mother's side. The family character, Nash often bragged how he used to spike Dirk's baby formula with sherry. Pitt inserted the change and dialed the number under the name. He waited patiently through six rings, hoping Nash was in. He was, answering half a second before Pitt was about to hang up. "Dr. Nash here," came a youthful, resonant voice. He was crowding 82. "Uncle Percy, this is Dirk." "Oh, my goodness, Dirk, about time I heard your voice. You haven't called your old uncle in 5 months." "Four," Pitt corrected him. "I've been on an overseas project." "How's my beautiful sister and that dirty old politician she married? They never call me either." "I haven't been over to the house yet, but judging from their letters, Mom and the Senator are as testy as ever." "What about you, nephew? Are you in good health?"
"Fit and ready to race you around Marinda Park."
"You remember that, do you? You couldn't have been much older than 6 at the time."
"How could I forget? Every time I'd try and pass, you'd throw me in the bushes."
Nash laughed like the jolly man that he was.
"Never try to better your elders. We like to think we're smarter than you kids."
"That's why I need your help and was wondering if you could meet me at the Numa building. I need to pick your brain."
"On what subject?"
"Nuclear reactors for race cars."
Nash knew instantly Pitt was dodging the real issue over the telephone.
"When?"
he asked without hesitation.
"As soon as convenient."
"An hour okay?"
"An hour will be fine," said Pitt.
"Where are you now?"
"Eating Japanese sashimi."
Nash groaned.
"Ghastly stuff. God only knows what pollutants and chemicals fish swim through."
"Tastes good, though."
"I'm going to speak to your mother. She didn't raise you right."
"See you in an hour, Percy."
Pitt hung up and went back to his table. Hungry as he was, he barely touched the sashimi. He idly wondered if one of the smuggled bombs might be buried under the floor of the restaurant. Pitt took a cab to the 10-story Numa building. He paid the driver and gazed briefly up at the emerald-green solar glass that covered the walls and ended in a curving pyramidal spire at the top. No lover of the classical look of the Capitol's government buildings, Admiral Sandecker wanted a sleek contemporary look, and he got it. The lobby was an atrium surrounded by waterfalls and aquariums filled with exotic sea life. A huge globe rose from off the center of the sea-green marble floor, contoured with the geological furrows and ridges of every sea, large lake, and primary river on the earth. Pitt entered an empty elevator and pressed the button marked 10. He skipped his fourth-floor office and rode up to the communications and information network on the top level. Here was the brain center of Numa, a storehouse of every scrap of information ever recorded on the oceans, scientific, historical, fiction, or nonfiction. It was in this vast room of computers and memory cores where Sandecker spent a goodly percentage of Numa's budget, a constant source of criticism from a small company of his enemies in Congress. Yet this great electronic library had saved enormous sums of money on hundreds of projects, led the way to numerous important discoveries, and helped avert several national disasters that were never reported in the news media. The man behind this formidable data supermarket was Hiram Yeager. Brilliant was the compliment most often paid to Yeager's mind, while rumpled distinguished his appearance. With his graying blonde hair tied in a long ponytail, a braided beard, granny spectacles, and frayed patched Levi's, Yeager exuded the aura of a hippie relic. Strangely, he had never been one. He was a decorated 3-tour Vietnam veteran who served as a Navy SEAL. If he had remained in computer design in California and launched his own company, he might have eventually headed a booming corporation and become a very wealthy man. But Yeager cared nothing for being an entrepreneur. He was a class act paradox and one of Pitt's favorite people. When Admiral Sandecker offered him the job of command over Numa's vast computer data complex with nearly unlimited funding, Yeager took it, moved his family to a small farm in Sharpsburg, Maryland, and set up shop all within 8 days.
He put in long hours running the data systems 24 hours a day, using three shifts of technicians to accumulate and disperse ocean data to and from ongoing American and foreign expeditions around the Earth. Pitt found Yeager at his desk, which sat on a raised stage and revolved in the center of the vast room. Yeager had it specially constructed so he could keep an all-seeing eye on his billion-dollar domain. He was eating a pizza and drinking a non-alcoholic beer when he spied Pitt and jerked to his feet with a broad smile. "Dirk, you're back!" Pitt climbed the stairs to Yeager's altar, as his staff called it, behind his back, and they shook hands warmly. "Hello, Hiram." "Sorry to hear about Soggy Acres," Yeager said seriously, "but I'm real happy to see you're still among the living. God, you look like a felon just out of solitary. Sit down and rest yourself." Pitt gazed longingly at the pizza. "You couldn't spare a slice, could you?" "You bet. Help yourself. I'll send out for another. Like a fake beer to wash it down? Sorry I can't give you the real stuff, but you know the rules." Pitt sat and put away a large pizza plus two slices from Yeager's and three beers without alcohol the computer genius kept in a small refrigerator built into his desk. Between bites, Pitt filled Yeager in on the events leading up to his rescue, stopping short of his flight to Hawaii. Yeager listened with interest and then smiled like a skeptical judge on a divorce trial. "Made a quick trip home, I see. Something's come up." Yeager laughed. "Here we go. You didn't rush back to eat my pizza. What's swirling in that evil mind of yours?" "I'm expecting a relative of mine, Dr. Percy Nash, to arrive in a few minutes. Percy was one of the scientists on the Manhattan Project, which built the first atomic bomb. A former director on the Atomic Energy Commission, now retired. Together with your supercomputer intelligence and Percy's knowledge of nuclear weaponry, I want to create a scenario. A conceptualization. A rose, etc." "Involving what?" "A smuggling operation." "What are we smuggling?" "I'd rather spell it out after Percy gets here." "A tangible, a solid object, maybe like a nuclear warhead?" Yeager asked smugly. Pitt looked at him. "That's one possibility." Yeager lazily rose to his feet and started down the stairs. "While we're waiting for your uncle, I'll warm up my CAD-CAM." He was gone and away on the computer floor before Pitt thought to ask him what he was talking about.